Here, the old gods are dead.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nessie? You nicknamed my daughter after the Loch Ness Monster?
Hey, this is the Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam.
Hello.
How are you, Liam?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I've just had a birthday. I've been a bit rough all week.
As you should. What are you now, like 40?
Yeah.
Oh, you've earned it.
The big 40.
What all did you get up to for your birthday?
I went to Edinburgh. I was meant to go to the castle because I've never actually been inside the castle, and my girlfriend was quite shocked about that. So she was like, she had booked us into Edinburgh Castle like the day after my birthday, but I didn't get too drunk.
Wait, you've never been before?
No, I've never been.
Actually, I've never been.
I've been like outside it, and I've like walked like along, and I've been on a tour that was
yeah,
like,
me too.
At the like front door basically, but I've never been like inside Edinburgh Castle, and my girlfriend was like, oh no, like we should like totally go, and I was like quite excited, and she booked it, and then like the day after my birthday, like we were both like bones hurt and rough, like really hungover, and we were like in a like spudgy lake or something, like in Prince's Mall. And we were just like, no, we'll reschedule it and we'll go home. And then we slept.
Wait, was it? So you didn't end up going?
I didn't end up going. I'm going next weekend. If I get any inspiration, I'll let you can.
Yeah, well, for my week, it's been a lot less interesting than yours. I'm in my exam period, and also I am in quarantine again, obviously, quarantine Aguilera. So literally all I've been doing is, like, listening to Lana Del Rey and, like, crying, which I think is very, like, feminized and very, like, beautiful of me to do. But I can't stop thinking about how Lana Del Rey supports Celtic and used to live in Glasgow.
See our ex-boyfriend Barry, who's from Glasgow and is the reason why she ever wore a Celtic shirt in the first place. He's on her new album. I didn't ken that because I haven't listened to it because I've not been quite depressed.
It's so good. No, I have so much time to talk about this album. It's so good. Like, people don't get it, but I get it. And, like, I get her and I understand her, and other people don't get her the same way I do. But, like, there's just something beautiful about her. Her voice has changed into just, like, a wailing woman. Like, yeah. Lana Del Rey is the banshee of Scottish music. Like,
well,
Scottish music? Not Scottish music. But, like, just music in general. And I'm obsessed with her.
Barry released an album like in November, and she's on a song, because that's how I went to listen to Blue Bannisters. I was like, oh my god, Lana's on one of Barry's songs. And then like I think the one that's on Blue Bannisters they wrote when they were together, like in like 2013 or whatever, and they re-recorded it for Blue Bannisters, which I thought was quite nice that she was on his album too. Good to see that.
Which one was it? Is it Give You All My Money? No, that's the guy from What You Call It, isn't it?
She did a cover a Summer Wine with Barry. I love how we've turned into like a pop culture pop culture podcast. Yep.
But like, sometimes you need to talk about Lana Del Rey. She's a very important figure in culture. Do you remember that headline? Well, it is Scottish related, because like, do you remember that headline? And it was like about how she just went into like a co-op in Shawlands and just was like buying morning rolls. Like, I don't know why I find it so funny, but imagine like you were in work and Lana Del Rey just came up like wanting to buy like four rolls. Like that would be life-changing.
Can you know, remember in 2015 there was a video of Justin Bieber sitting on a wall in Kinross? And this boy, I have mutual friends with this guy because he's 5'5", and he drives up to him and goes, "What's happening, Bieber son?" And then Justin Bieber just like looks down at him, and like then the guy drives away, and that's it. But Justin Bieber here looks at him going, "What the fuck did he just say?" I still say that. What's happening, Bieber son?
It's like that is going to be inserted into my regular language, and I hate that for me.
Like the big, like the thickest Fife accent ever. And Justin Bieber, like,
and that's
literally
you saying that, so you know it's bad.
Justin Bieber just looks at him like, "What the fuck?" Like literally, like scrunches his face up, like, "Ooh." And then just, he's just like, "He must be high or something," because he's just like, he's sitting on a wall that like looks out onto Lochleven. And he's just like vibing because he's obviously burst, and then this guy just comes and harasses him. I would, anybody go and Google, like go to YouTube and put in like Justin Bieber Kinross and see what comes up, because it's really funny.
Honestly, if a man from Fife yelled at me out of his car, I think I'd have like a stroke, I'd throw up and I'd cry.
Justin handled it very well.
Yeah, like I wouldn't have just curled up my nose, I would have cried. No offense to men from Fife, but also full offense to men from Fife.
Speaking of Scottish icons and Scottish moments in pop culture, this episode, by the title you should have guessed, is about Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster.
What a segue.
We're getting so much better at this. That was professional as fuck.
That was so good.
If anybody new listeners are here, because we had a wee bit of a moment like in the last couple of weeks, if any new listeners are here and haven't listened to like our first couple of episodes, we've gotten a lot better. Like you came at the right time.
I mean, the second one I enjoy.
Yeah, the first one's so bad.
The audio quality.
Yeah.
Although my interview with Cara, she kept touching the desk, and then the audio quality for that was also bad.
But the first episode, like every day I wake up and I think about deleting it. Because
no, I like it.
Yeah, but I'm a girl boss, Liam. I hate it. Anyway, so are we ready to talk about the Loch Ness Monster?
I'm always ready to talk about the Loch Ness Monster legend.
Well, if any people feel like knowing the Highlands or like fae other countries don't know, Loch Ness is a freshwater loch that's about like 20-ish miles away from Inverness. Is that right, Liam?
Yeah, you can get there in a car in like 20 minutes. So
yeah. So it's named after the River Ness, which flows through its northern end. And the river's name is said to derive from the old Celtic word meaning roaring one.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Nice.
I googled like Loch Ness etymology. I do that for every episode that we do. I'm like, right, let's get on my Susie Dent shit.
I was literally going to say, you're Susie Dent.
So anyway, about that professionalism. The surface area of Loch Ness is the second largest in Scotland, just after, do you know which loch is the biggest, Liam?
I thought Loch Ness was the biggest.
It's not by surface area.
Oh, Lomond?
Loch Lomond, yeah. It is. I think Loch Lomond is still the biggest loch in Scotland as well.
I thought Loch Ness was the biggest by volume.
It is. No, wait, it can't be. It can't be because it's 27 miles in length, and then it's also Scotland's second deepest loch, a 230 metres at its lowest point, but there's a lot of sea caverns and stuff in Loch Ness.
I was about to say there's a lot of caves.
Yeah, a lot of caves and stuff, so that may be true. It may hold the most water.
Do caves count as still the loch itself?
They must. Well, for some perspective, 230 metres is its lowest point. So basically, you could put two big bends on top of each other and they still wouldn't touch the surface.
Do it.
So it would take like about 2.5 big bends for like the tip to come like out the water. The soil surrounding the loch is really peaty, meaning that the water...
It's really what?
Peaty. Peat-heavy soil on the banks of the loch. So it means that the water's very, very murky. Like, obviously, this place is very popular for folk to send in, like, diving equipment to look for the monster and stuff, and it's very difficult to see, which obviously, like, makes room for a lot of more rumours to, like, start. If you Google, like, videos of, like, Loch Ness Monster found, like, it's just, like, really low quality, blurry videos.
I love it.
Something coming past and you're like, ooh, maybe it could be. But obviously, because of this like really heavy soil making the water like mucky, and the sea caverns, and also Loch Ness is part of like several interconnected lochs, which gives way for like many other like sea lochs around the world for rumours of cryptozoological monsters to be living there. And we call ours very affectionately Nessie. Sightings of Nessie go way back to 565, and legends have been shared amongst locals since like forever, basically. But in the late 1800s to the 1930s, Nessie went through a bit of a boom. And she really started to make a name for herself. So, one of
her
the
reputation era,
like one of the like first sightings in the late 1800s was in 1871 by a gentleman who goes by D. Mackenzie, Theobaldine, which is one of the villages like near Loch Ness. I hope I'm pronouncing that properly.
Yeah, Balmain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very hard to fuck that up.
Bauman. Bauman. Yeah.
So this gentleman claimed to have seen an object that looked like a log or a capsized rowing boat in the water that was wriggling and churning up water. It moved like it apparently moved slowly at first before disappearing at a faster speed. But this account wasn't published until 1934, when Mackenzie sent his story to Rupert Gould, who was a cryptozoologist, who was like really like the big Nessie hunter at that point.
What's a cryptozoologist? Is that like someone who's trying to find like...
Yeah, it's like people who try to find like Bigfoot and Nessie and like other... It's not a real profession, I will say. Like, it's, I don't think you can like go to uni and study cryptozoology. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean,
there is like...
I mean, we're at a point now though where like you could do it as a profession.
Yeah, you could. There
like,
is like
there's definitely reality TV shows.
Yeah, yeah. And also there is a wee gentleman who lives on Doors Beach in a little research hut just looking for Nessie all the time. Do you know, have you seen this?
Yeah. Wait, is that the same guy that makes the little like
The ceramic like Nessies? Go check him out. He sells little ceramic Nessies.
Go Google, like, okay, we'll take a pause. Google his website. Does he have a website?
Yeah, he does have a website, and it looks exactly what you think it would look like.
Oh, I know exactly what it looks like.
Like dark screen white writing. I wanted your website to kind of look like that.
Yeah, like that scene in Twilight.
Yeah, where she's, yeah. Our website does kind of look like that. That was very heavily inspired by that scene in Twilight. He was on This Morning, though, not long ago.
NessieHunter.co.uk.
Yeah,
is
I think
that
it's.
It?
I think that's.
NessieHunter. Everyone go to NessieHunter.co.uk. Oh wow, oh wow.
And then if you go shop, he's got like wee.
Oh my god,
they're cute, eh?
Yeah,
they're quite.
I used to have one, but it broke.
They're quite expensive. Anyway, so D. Mackenzie sends his report away to a cryptozoologist in the 30s, which is when Nessie's gone through her boom period. The fact that he waited to date this for so long makes me think that he was just trying to get on the action, but he never said his first name, so like that actually lends some credit for me. Like, I might believe him.
Yeah.
In the 30s, the first article to gain attention about the monster was published on the 2nd of May 1933 in the Inverness Courier. It was a woman called Aldie Mackay who had seen the monster when she was, like, driving past with her husband. She seen a large creature with the body of a whale rolling in the water. So she says that the creature disported itself, rolling and plunging for fully a minute, its body resembling that of a whale and the water cascading and churning like a simmering cauldron. Soon, however, it disappeared in a boiling mass of foam. Both onlookers confessed that there was something uncanny about the whole thing. Yeah, like something uncanny about like Loch Ness boiling over because there's a weird whale looking thing on it. And they're like, yes.
Yeah, like cold.
There was something funny about that.
they were empaths. They were they saw Loch Ness boiling and they were like,
this isn't
something's
right.
Something's not quite right.
They realized here was no ordinary denizen of the depths, because apart from its enormous size, the beast, in taking out its final plunge, sent out waves that were big enough to have been caused by a passing steamer. So, big monster. Aldi was interviewed again in the 80s and said that she had no any local stories surrounding the monster before she made her claim. But this is the first, like, official documented claim. But, like, she's a local, so she would kind of, like, word-of-mouth kind of stuff.
Yeah.
After Aldi's article gained public attention, interest in Nessie really began to pick up, and another famous sighting was reported in 1933, and this is where the depiction of her that we like kind of can the day, like with the humped neck and like wee green feet kind of thing. Yeah, that's where this comes from. And again, this was published in the Inverness Courier, so at this point I think it's a possible theory that Nessie was created by the Inverness Courier in order to sell papers.
You could say that, or you could believe in her.
Yeah, I do believe in her. I feel you do believe in her, but like, devil's advocate.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. I like to see every side of the story.
I would also say that the Inverness Courier owe Nessie their life, and they owe her royalties at this point.
Yeah, they should forfeit all mortal possessions to her.
Aldi's article got re-released, and that's, like, what I'm using, like... Well, Aldi's article got reprinted, and, like, all other kind of famous articles about her got reprinted in, like, the 2010s at some point, and that was my main source.
Yeah, like, every time they have, like, a paper shortage, they're like, maybe we should say Nessie's alive again.
So, in 1933, George Spicer and his wife saw a most extraordinary form of animal cross the road in front of their car. They described the creature as having a large body, about 4 feet high, and as long as 10 to 12 feet in the width. The road, it was probably about 3 to 4 meters, they're saying. They saw no limbs, and it lurched across the road towards the lock, leaving a trail of broken undergrowth. And Spicer described it as having the nearest approach to a dragon or prehistoric animal that I have ever seen in my life, and as having a long neck which moved up and down in the manner of a scenic railway. And in my notes, I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? But I think it means like, I think it means like kind of like when you're a child and you draw a railway and it's kind of got like bumps in it. I think that's what it means. I think they're talking about it in a humpback. Because I was like, right, this sounds like an English essay, but okay, I guess it's the 1930s.
Yeah, everyone was a poet.
A lot more.
Broody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it had an animal in its mouth, apparently, and a body that was fairly big with a high back, but if there were any feet, they must have been webbed. And as for a tail, I cannot say, as it moved so rapidly, and when we got to the spot, it had probably disappeared into the lock by then. This sighting then sparked several more, and it actually coined the name the Loch Ness Monster in the Inverness Courier, which I think is quite iconic.
Wait, that is quite iconic. But she's not a monster. She's a creature. Like, she's a being. She is.
This episode is going to be called the Loch Ness Monster, though, because... clickbait.
That sells.
it does sell. We're taking like...
I'll compromise my beliefs for money. And that's true. I've always said that.
So it is also said that in 1933, this is like when things really do pick up. That is when the road around Loch Ness was properly completed. So you could drive all the way around the big twisty windy road around Loch Ness. And like I think a lot more traffic was like coming into the Highlands at that point. So
yeah.
Could be said that that's why sightings increased. I'm not going to go through like every single sighting because there's hundreds. I think every single person in Scotland probably has one. But I am going to talk about the surgeon's photograph, which is like the most iconic
camp
picture.
Classic. Yeah. Camp classic.
The Loch Ness Monster. The surgeon's photograph is from 1934. So like obviously a very busy period for Nessie.
Yeah, she was booked and busy. The doll was getting paid. It was a moment.
So this picture was taken by Robert Kenneth Wilson, a gynecologist from London who initially didn't want his name to be associated with the picture, which is why we know it just as the surgeon's photograph, because that's how it was printed in the mail. Mm-hmm. According to Wilson, he was looking at the lock when he saw the monster and grabbed his camera and snapped 4 photos. Only 2 exposures came out clearly. The first one shows a small head and a back, and then the second shows a similar head but gone into a diving position. Although the second picture's quite blurry, so it was only the first one that really gained attention and stuck. He takes the film plates to Ogston's, a chemist at the time in Inverness, and has them developed, and then immediately sells the first picture to the Daily Mail. Anyways.
Okay. So. Wow, that was a choice. But
yeah, yeah. They announced that the monster had finally been photographed, and this photo was considered to be legit evidence for a really long time, although it did come under scrutiny as soon as it was... released, because if you go into like Wikipedia or whatever, it is the image that comes up, and it's like quite zoomed in. You can tell But if you look at the original, the waves are in what is Nessie are like quite small. Like she looks tiny in the water, basically. Like you can like in the one where it's like zoomed in, the one that got sold to the mail, it's like, oh, that does look quite big. But if you see it in the water on the original, it's teeny, teeny, tiny. And I'll tell you why. So in 1995, the details of the photograph's hoax were brought to light in a book called The Surgeon's Photograph, The Hoax Revealed, or something cheesy like that.
Ugh.
The real story is that Robert Kenneth Wilson was on a hunting trip with his friend Maurice Chambers in 1934. And then after the death of Maurice, his personal papers revealed that the photograph had been a hoax by a group of conspirators who were also on this trip. So the photo had been taken by Marmaduke Witherell, a big game hunter and filmmaker. And he had been in hot water the year before that, I think, because as like there was this Nessie boom gone on, he had taken pictures of like what he said were the monster's footprints. And it turned out that it had been an umbrella that he had that had like a hippo's foot on it. So like he like wasn't considered like credible in being involved in this story, so that's why it's Robert Kenneth Wilson who's at the front. So Marmaduke Witherell went to Woolies, Woolworths in Inverness, I assume, or he maybe did it in England where he was living, and bought this toy submarine. It had been altered with plastic and wood by a sculptor called Christian Spurling, who was an artist. And he corroborated this story in 1993 that he was involved in, that he made the wee Nessie that's in the picture. So they take the toy submarine down into the water and then they snap pictures. Wilson had actually been selected by the group as the front man because he enjoyed a practical joke, but it was his status as a physician that made him marry like a reliable source, because it isn't as if Marmaduke Witherell could have done it because he was already caught the last time they did this. So
why is this like some sort of elaborate like Jackass 1954 prank? Like,
I genuinely would really enjoy a film about this.
Yeah, this like, is like the original like influencer house or something. Like that's insane.
Like they're all
boys
like rich guys for like South Africa and Madagascar and stuff. I'm pretty sure they were all like for the British colonies, and they were quite like socialite-y kind of people, but it would be fun to see like that in a short film, I would say. So even still, like, even though this was a hoax, plenty of sightings have been made of Nessie, like, year on year. The Loch has several naturalists and scientists who are dedicated to finding physical and scientific evidence in Nessie, like the guy who lives on Dores Beach, like, year round. Okay. They dedicate their life to this, and then for like every year you still get like people who catch her like on a video. I think there was one not that long ago, there was a picture of like what looked like the humps, like a monster just coming out the water. But honestly, it pisses me off in this day and age that it's always a picture, it's never a video. I'm like, it's just as quick to get your phone out and take a video. Like,
yeah, it's easier because then you don't have to like focus it, and then that's why they're always blurry, because you're like, oh my god, hold your hands up quickly, but like just take a video.
Yeah, because this, the one that came out, folk are saying like it's a giant eel or something. It does look pretty huge. And if it would have took quite a wee while to get through the water. So I would have said that it would have been entirely possible for this gentleman to take a video. But anyway, plenty of sightings are made of Nessie every year, including one by myself. I think Liam's got one too. When I was like younger, apparently, I was driving past the loch with my nana and my sister, and I was like maybe like three, and I was in the back of the car, and apparently I said to my nana that I had seen Nessie, and she like 100% believes me because she like thinks that I could do no wrong and tell no lies. But I think the same year I had said that I had seen a unicorn, so I think I was,
you got all
I,
the Scottish girlies that
yeah
year.
I think I'm just a fucking attention seeking wee bitch. That's why I said that. But you've seen her, right? Apparently. Tell me.
Yeah, well, I remember vividly being on the like the big windy road when you're going out further than Dores, and I remember telling my mum that I saw Nessie, and she was like, "Shut up," because my mum does not believe in the Loch Ness monster. And I was like 8, but I did have like a history of like seeing things as a child, so maybe that's why she told me to shut up as well. Because there was one time we were on the train back from Aberdeen to Inverness, and it was nighttime, and I thought I saw a witch outside, so I tried to stand up to get a better look out the window, and I pulled the emergency stop brake on the train when I was trying to lever myself up, and then the train came to a halt, and then the, like, train, like, steward person came up, and she was like, can you control your child? Pretty much. So, yeah, I guess my mum doesn't really believe me when I say I see things anymore, because... and they usually end up in her getting in trouble. So.
I love how that, like, we were both the exact same, though, like, driving past Loch Ness, and we're like, oh my god, I've seen Nessie. And my nana was like, yeah. Oh my god, that's brilliant. And your mum was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, my mum's not a bad person, by the way, everyone. Like, she just, kind of annoying. It has to be said.
And to be fair, if I was in the car with my mum or dad when I did that, they would be like, right, Rebecca, like, shut up. Like, you said, you seen a unicorn, like, last week.
They would be like, aye, okay, and then turn the radio up. To <hang you.
laughs> So, after the break, we're going to chat about, like, some of our historical stories about Nessie, and we're going to go through some theories about whether she's real or not. Oh my god, I was in the pub last night and had just been talking about this episode, and then I Believe in You by Kylie Minogue came on. Like, a wee queer guy.
It was meant to be.
That was behind me, it had put it on. It was meant to be. I literally. Anyway.
Visibly queer.
He was visibly queer. He was drinking, like, a wee, like, rosé with ice.
Aww. Aww.
He was like, I've put on some really bad songs after this one. I was like, aka the best songs I've ever heard. And then turns out he was right, because he put Ed Sheeran on, so... Oh. Anyway,
why would a queer person do that?
I know. I was like, oh, all of a sudden this isn't a safe space. And just like,
okay,
that.
Before we get into it, yeah. I have a question for the culture. Is it okay for queer people to listen to Ed Sheeran? I want to know, like, is it allowed?
No.
Absolutely not. Okay, that's all. So my first story here is going to be, it's a historical one. It's, despite it not being, like, considered the Loch Ness Monster in this time, because, like, obviously the term was only coined later on, we have our first compulsive liar of the night. So I'm going to be talking about St. Columba. So he was an Irish priest who was, like, responsible for, like, the Yassification.
He was a Christian missionary.
Yeah, he was in charge of the Yassification. He was the first person to actually play Kylie Minogue in Scotland. And he actually wrote a song for her called I Believe in You, based on this experience about the Loch Ness Monster. Anyway, so what had happened was, basically, he was on the banks of the River Ness, looking out onto the loch, before all of the, like, urbanisation. It was, like, somewhere where, like, pagans of the time would dwell, or as the National Catholic Register referred to them as, heathens. I got a lot of this story from the National Catholic Register, and it's, like, so bizarre to read it in terms of, like, they referred to him as, like, civilizing a lot of Scotland and Ireland. And I was like, what do you mean by civilizing?
There's nothing more civil than the Catholic Church.
A civil court case, maybe. So basically, he saw a group of pagans dwelling by the river, and they had, like, a dead friend. And he was like, what happened? And then they were like, well, there was this, like, huge serpentine monster in the loch that just killed our friend. And so, allegedly, Columba went out and, like, by the will of God, told the monster, you can't be here anymore, and banished it. But I don't believe that that is the case. As someone who has seen Nessie, I think that she beat him and he went back with his tail between his legs, but that's neither here nor there. And I do believe him to be a compulsive liar, because he claims to have defeated many monsters in Scotland, and I'm like, how many can there be, you know? Yeah. You can have beaten them all. But yeah, I'm mainly angry at him for saying that he defeated Nessie. Like, I don't think she could have
understood English.
Yeah, exactly. You can't be here anymore. And she was like,
all right,
using her interdimensional dialect and just like making sound frequencies or whatever. Speaking of yassification of Scotland, our next story relates to infamous boy bottom Alistair Crowley. And so another, like a theory of how Nessie came to be in Loch Ness is because, as we spoke about before, in Boleskine House, when he was opening up all his like magic, apparently because he forgot to close off one of his spells, one of the demons escaped and now lives in Loch Ness. So Nessie is actually a hell demon.
I would just like to point out, Liam, that this is not a popular theory and that we came up with this in episode one. No, like, we literally bullshit.
This is a theory. I watched a documentary on Loch Ness, and it's actually a theory.
I genuinely thought we came up with this.
I thought we came up with it too, and then I literally watched a documentary. I'll find the name of it and we'll put it on the website, but I watched a documentary and I was like, shut up. But
we're actual cryptozoologists.
Yeah, what the fuck? We're trendsetters. Although the documentary, I feel like, possibly came out after our episode, so maybe someone listens to our podcast and was using us as a source.
Oh god. I fucking hope no.
That should never happen.
Especially
you should not be allowed to be a journalist if you're using us as a source. That's just fact. So do you have any other popular theories of?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about some theories. 2 seconds, because I threw my notes on the ground. I thought I was done, but I'm not. So basically, the popular theories for like the tinfoil hat kind of people is that you can't see Nessie all the time, and she's not there all the time because she hides in the sea tunnels in Loch Ness.
Yeah.
Which is, like, fair. Like, if she wants peace, she could just go and chill.
Yeah. In the documentary I saw, though, I mean, there are so many tunnels, so it's, like, mm-hmm. impossible to explore them all simultaneously. Mm-hmm. But in the documentary I saw, they were, like, pretty much, like, think they have disproved this because, like, DNA samples they've taken from all the caverns.
Yeah, that's their big thing right now, try to prove that she's real or no real by just testing the water for, like, DNA. Although, I don't know, like, they don't even know what she is,
why do we put so much money into researching this? Like, why don't we just believe me?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, that's like people dedicate their life to disproving it and also dedicate their lives to actually proving it.
Yeah, I feel like it's a better use of your time.
Yeah, I think these people are like really hyperfixated and like, I don't know, really divorced, because I could not imagine.
There's a certain degree of fixation there that's
unhealthy.
Not completely typical.
No. Another theory is that she's actually a giant eel or like a kind of like water snake kind of thing, rather than the plesiosaur that people say she is. Am I right in saying that it's a plesiosaur?
Yeah. And also I want to like address that why it's so scary that it could be an eel, because like eels can go on land. Eels can survive for a very long time on land. Like they've been seen to go like through, well, longer than normal fish. They've been seen to like go through grass to get from like one side of a river to another.
Ooh, I hate that. Because I was going to say, I was like, oh, she can't be an eel because she went in front of that person's car.
Yeah, exactly. When you were saying that and when he said there was no feet, I was like, oh, maybe it is an eel.
Maybe it is an eel.
Like, I would throw, if I saw an eel that size, I would throw up. It would be like the worm from June. Like, that is disgusting. Like, speaking of June, still don't like that movie.
Yeah, still hate it.
I watched it again, illegally. You can, not illegally. I streamed it. Illegally. And it's not better the second time. It's actually worse.
I was going to say, I have that phobia, like, even when I'm in a swimming pool, like, when I'm swimming around, that something's going to come and touch my leg, and it's always eels that I imagine are swimming around. Oh, so I could like not imagine, because I've been to doors a few times, and I couldn't imagine just getting into that water and swimming around. Because
you can't see anything.
No, No, that, what is that phobia called? Like, there's loads of TikToks about it that make you feel worse.
Well, it's like, what do you call it? Series of unfortunate events where the, remember when they're at, like, the, you can't eat and go in the water or the, whatever they're called.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nor. Why did you say nor?
Nor. Just the thought, just nor. The thought of, just the thought of eels in general. Sorry, eels, but.
Yeah, no offense to no eels, but ew.
So another theory, well, I don't know if this is, you could call this a theory, is that she's no real and that everybody made it up. Or that like one person made it up, aka Aldi Mackay, and then it just spun out for there. Folk wanted
to get
in on it.
That's not a theory, that's just being wrong. Like, that's just incorrect. Like, if so many people have seen the Loch Ness Monster, then who are you to say it doesn't exist?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're so right. So then that's my last theory, is that she's 100% real and you can't see her all the time because she's an interdimensional being. Kind of like how Bigfoot and stuff are said to have, like, exist on like another dimension and that they cross over sometimes. I'm about this.
We're on our tinfoil hat shit this episode.
She's a psychic being and she appears in Loch Ness sometimes.
Yeah, and you can only see her if you're on, like, a higher vibration, I guess.
Yeah, but, Aldi Mackay was on the highest vibration.
In the documentary, I think maybe I shouldn't call it a documentary. It was probably more like History Channel Nighttime sort of.
Smoke a big doobie and watch this.
Yeah, like Aliens Built the Pyramids sort of documentary, quote-unquote, because it was like, scientists have pretty much disproven every theory except for that she's an interdimensional being.
And exactly, so, like, they can't disprove that, so that means she's real.
Yeah, exactly. So who are you to disprove it, you know? So until we understand string theory a little better, we have no proof whether or not Nessie exists.
I mean, when I was younger and now, because it's fun, I think she's real. She holds the tourism industry in this country up.
Yeah.
Like, her an Outlander.
Outlander. Speaking of Outlander, everyone listened to Film Query Podcast. They did an episode on Outlander recently, and it was actually really good, and I liked it because I can't watch Outlander because it's trash, in my opinion. And so they watched it so we don't have to.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy.
They're doing good work, like, putting themselves through that for you.
They're part of our Brooklyn podcast mafia at this point. This nepotistic little circle we've created.
But that's Nessie. I mean, we could have been here all day just giving you, like, every single sighting in Nessie, but they're all kind of, like, similar to Aldi Mackay's in that it's people driving past a lock and then, like, something's rolling around in the water. There's another one where Nessie runs in front of a guy's motorbike and, like, he nearly crashes, I think. That's quite a famous one, like, the motorcycle witness. But it's really similar to that George Spicer's one where it's, like, Nessie runs in front of his car or his motorbike and then, like, scurries into the water, like, where wee feet patting on the ground.
I don't know why the thought of Nessie running is so funny to me, but, like,
first. Like, her. She's got the secretary walk. Anyway, remember to follow us on Twitter at The Creepy Wee Pod, Instagram at The Creepy Wee Podcast, and our website at thecreepywepodcast.co.uk. If you have any sightings in Nessie, you can email us at thecreepywepodcast@gmail.com and we'll read them out in our next episode. So if anybody's got a really good one, please let us get in. Thank you. Bye.
The Army's artificial intelligence defeats over 1,800 cyber attacks every month. But only a soldier can spot new forms of attack. like the beeps your brain's noticing right now. As you subconsciously scan for patterns. Until you know.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You've found something. Nothing can do what a soldier can do. Army, recruiting now. Search Army Reserves.
Sam Mendes presents Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens, an Audible original drama.
The young gentleman's name would be...
Oliver. Oliver Twist.
With Brian Cox as Fagin.
What have you seen? Speak, boy!
Nicola Coughlan as Nancy. And Daniel Kaluuya as Bill Sykes.
Don't look at me like that. I know the man I am.
I love you, Bill.
With original music by Dan Gillespie Sells. Subscription required. See audible.co.uk for terms.